Welcome, welcome, welcome. We done? Offering the sacrifice of fools. That's the word of God, not Greg. Let us go to the Lord of prayer. Lord, thank you for gathering us tonight. Thank you for the people in this room that make your word their priority, that give their Tuesday nights to come hear from you, Lord. And let us tonight hear from you. Let us regard you as holy tonight in your holy scriptures, Lord. Correct us, teach us, encourage us. In Jesus we pray, amen. Do I need to speak louder? Okay, so tonight we're going to look at the watch. The word in the Greek is gregoreo. If you want to remember this, it's spelled gregoreo with one G. So I hope that I'll never forget this. But it's gregoreo. And I want us to consider where we stand in reflection of tonight's message on the watch, the night watch. Are we asleep? Are we awake? And this gregoreo means to be watchful, to watch, to give strict attention to be cautious, active, to keep awake. And it is Tuesday night. I know we are tired, but we are going to keep awake to God's word. This is what we're going to do tonight. Give his attention because it is worthy of our attention. It is also means to take heed lest through remission and or having an inclination to laziness, lest some destructive calamity suddenly overtake you. We're not doing Romans 1 tonight. It's okay. So, watch. Gregoreo. Watch our words. Let's start there. Watch our words. Watch their words. The people in our lives. Psalms 149 says, 49:6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand. He's talking to us. Let the high praises of God be in our mouths. And let that two-edged sword of the word of God be in our hands. Proverbs 27:19, as in water reflects face, so the man's heart reveals the man. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the mouth comes the abundance of the heart. Test the words. Watch. Pay careful attention to people's words. It reveals everything. This two-edged sword, the praises of God, only come from the Spirit-inspired, God-breathed word. There is no praise nor worship acceptable before God outside of the pages of his word. Your best intentions, God knows the heart. No, the instructions for praise and worship are in his word, and we are not to go outside of that. Is this what comes out of you? The high praises of God. With the two-edged sword of the Word of God in your hand. The only acceptable praise, the only acceptable worship to God is His Word, His Son. Not from your standard, but from His. A standard too high for us. And again, I ask you, is this sharp two-edged sword of His Word in your hand? Because if His Word it does not have a permanent place in your soul stream of conscience, if you are not daily feeding on His Word, how can His high praises come out of your mouth? It's not the abundance of your heart. Maybe it comes out here and there on a Sunday, but this should be an everyday activity for us. Can you easily recognize those in your life that receive the Word daily as if their life depends on it? Do the people in your life recognize that about you? You want to be different? This is what people see as different. That you rely on the word of God daily, and it pours out of you. I sure hope we are practicing and we can recognize these things. You should by now be able to recognize and discern those of this world by their words. Spend enough time with somebody, you should be able to find out if they're a believer, whether you ask them if they're saved or not. How about recognizing and discerning those who are playing Christian? playing disciples who in this westernized American church who have made community the highest standard to come together under. The least common denominator to bring in people together so not to offend anybody. And by making community the highest standard, the rest of the gospel is now not needed. Because if we bring the rest of the gospel, we will offend. And besides, our goal is for community. So if we tell them everything that the Word of God says, we will break down that community. Playing disciples, conforming the church into the image of the world to attract numbers, just to get them into the seats, and calling this kingdom success. Do you recognize this in professing Christians? Because it's out there. It's out there. And we here, and I am so thankful for this church, have set the highest standard for our gathering, the Word of God. To learn it, to be taught it, to practice it, to put it into application in our lives. And this kingdom success with numbers, David was actually judged by God for doing the same exact thing. Things that I see happen in friends of my life that go to churches and they say, oh, your numbers are down. You're not being successful in the kingdom. We need to change things. We need to make it successful. Your numbers need to go up. Tithes need to go up. I witness these things, and it's a tragic, tragic thing to see. Christians, including myself, counting success by the numbers of people in your life, by the numbers of people in the seats, keeping logs of attendance and coming up with pragmatic ideas of how to build the numbers. Pragmatism. To be pragmatic, as Greg would explain it. What worked to get people in this seat? Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to build our success based on what worked. We are not to do this in the church. These are playing Christians because they set the standard as community, not the Word of God. The Word of God offends. This is the best news that we have. This is the news that needs to be taught. The offense of the gospel. It shows us who we are apart from Christ. Unworthy, wretched, naked, blind, lame. To take us from the pride of life to the humility and the offense of the cross so that he may lift us up in him. Like the Father did for the Son when he lifted him up and sat him at the right hand. Discerning them by their words, discerning the world by their words, discerning those who are playing Christians by their words, discerning those who are students of the Word by the word that comes out of their mouth, who constantly look to the upward call of God in Christ, seeking those things which are too great for natural man to understand, seeking Christ. So I'll say it again, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword, the Word of God, be in their hand. So watch the word. Gregorio, the word. Watch the word. And we are to watch the work of the Lord in our lives through his word. I know, Ty, we get up here. Scott, Terry, get the word, get the word, get the word. There's one requirement of you to be a disciple, to be a student of the Word of God. And there is no limit to how much you can take. Oh, I did enough today. If you have to, what Jill always say? Hey, is that good enough? If you have to ask that question, that means the answer is no. Psalms 133 through 6. You can turn there. Gregorio. Gregorio. Can I pronounce it Gregorio tonight? So I'll read it as you guys are getting there. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Lord, if you remembered our sins, who could stand before you? And we thank you that our sins and our lawless deeds he will remember no more, Hebrews promises us. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And at that cross, you demonstrated your love for us, yet while we were still sinning against you, God, you died for us. So that we and the entire world may have the forgiveness of our sins as a free gift, not earned, but by simply believing, we have forgiveness with you, Lord. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In his word, I do hope. Do you hope in his word? There's no other hope out there. Any situation you have, it's the word of God that you have to hope in. I'm not waiting for a situation to end. This is the mind of a Christian. I'm not waiting for this situation to end. I'm not waiting for this other situation to come about. But I am waiting for the Lord in that situation. Because I have the mind of the Lord written in the book in which I study and meditate on night and day, in the light and the dark of my life. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Anytime the word of God repeats a statement, repeats a name, repeats a word, pay attention. Gregorio, give attention to it. Be alert. Do not sleep on it. Just like in Proverbs 24, 31 through 34. I went to the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. So I saw it. I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler. So shall your need like an armed man. Solomon looked at the physical and saw the deeper spiritual things, because he considered it well. He paused, he was alert, he watched. He considered it well and received the instruction from the Lord. He saw a vineyard broke down, and the Lord gave him wisdom in that. 2 Corinthians 4:18, for while we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That temporary vineyard is no longer there. But the lesson he taught Solomon is in this room tonight. It's in the word of God. It's God's wisdom. The word of God which endures forever. Psalms 119:160. Ty, you know it? That's the biggest chapter of the Bible. I'll give you that one. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Receiving instruction, considering all things well. Do you practice this in your life? I practice this, and I have to confess daily because I'm considering the spiritual behind my reaction to something, that I'm wrong, that I'm the sinner, not the person that caused the offense to me. My reaction is the offense. Considering these things well so that we may receive instruction. Testing all things so that we might be instructed by the word, by our Lord. Solomon looked to the surface, really considered it well, and saw the deeper instructions of the Lord. A little folding of the hands to rest, a little laziness in your word, a little sleeping spiritually, so sure your poverty come like a prowler. The flesh looks to the surface, but the spirit of the word calls to the deep, sees the deeper things in this earth. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life, says the psalmist in chapter 42. So the watch, the night watch. So verse 6 in Psalms 130. This is that repeated statement. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, those who watch for the morning. Who's out there watching for the morning? Those who are Gregorio. Those who are alert, who are awake, who are watching. Not those who are asleep, but those who are awake in this night watch. And hopefully we'll see clearly tonight that we have all been called to this night watch. To look and wait upon the Lord, the Son, the hope in his word. He says, more than those on the night watch who are waiting for the morning, waiting for the S-U-N, we are those who have been ordered to be alert and to watch and to wait for the sun, the S-O-N. Mark 13, 32 and 37. But on that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to each his work. You know this is us right now, right? That he's given each one of us in this room our work, his work in us. And commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Watch, therefore. Gregorio, Gregorio. Be alert. Give attention to. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. He's not talking to them, he's talking to us. And what I say to you, I say to all. Gregorio. Watch, be alert. Are you on the night watch or are you sleeping? It's okay, I'm just doing a little folding on my hands. It's okay, God understands. I have things I need to take care of. I'll get to the word later. He understands. God knows I even need time off from him. It's okay. I'm gonna just lay down in this garden and take a nap for a little bit while my Savior is telling me to be alert and pray. And think about that night watch. Those who are waiting for the morning in that darkness and wartime. Why else are you out at nighttime watching? The enemy's attacking. And he's assigned you and each and every one of us to be on this night watch. And believe me, there's a war going on around us all the time. And if you don't have that simple understanding, you are those who Paul charges in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And this isn't a war that we have to fight to earn the victory. The victory was won at Calvary. It's been given to us. It is finished. Tetelestai, our Savior, said. And our job is to stand firm, to stand quickly in that victory. That message of the cross where the power of God lays for us that are being saved. We live in Satan's kingdom on the surface, the kingdom of darkness. And those of us who are living this life for the things of this life are those he is saying are asleep. Light versus dark, diametric opposites. One cannot exist where the other is. Looking for the sunrise. Yes, more than those that are watching for the sunrise. This is war. It's dark and you are responsible for what happens in the camp. You're responsible for what happens around you. The people in your life that God has sent to you. I can imagine the fear, the anxiety, the unknown of what could possibly be waiting to attack in that darkness on that watch. You got a whole camp, a whole army dependent on you. But more than that, I look to the Son. I look to Jesus. And it is our responsibility. Yes, you and I, we have been given this responsibility to watch that darkness with the light of his word, to shine a flashlight on it. Psalms 119, 105. The word is the lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And 513. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And that's when he says, awake you who sleep. In verse 14. And if we wait on the sun, the S-O-N, we don't have to wait for the morning in that darkness. We have his light of his word to expose any enemy attack. There's no more fear, no more anxiety. We can see clearly in the darkness. And think about these darkest times in your life, just wanting it to be over. Can't wait till the sun comes up. I can't wait till my child's no longer an addict. just wanting it to be over. The problem with waiting for situations to end, the problem with waiting for the morning, is that darkness will soon come again. So we wait for the sun. We wait for Jesus in all our situations. And when we hope on his word, when we wait on the Lord, darkness no longer has a place. Now, whether the dark situation ends or not, it makes no difference because we have his light. You ask and you ask amiss so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Well, I just want my son to be sober. I want my daughter to be sober. I know I go to addiction. It's so close to my heart. God, deliver me from it. That's the wrong prayer. You want them to be a child of God, to come to salvation, to come to that light. We have his light, his word, his character, his understanding. We have Christ, and that is enough. The light of the world. Colossians 1, 9 through 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Think about it. We've been delivered from the power of the darkness, but yet we exist in the darkness of this world. Psalms 139, 6 through 12. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. For where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, Lord, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. He says, the darkness and the light are both alike to you, God. God is light, and even when I say I shall live in darkness, I shall make my bed in hell, I shall continue to do that sin, he is there. And God does not see it. He does not see the darkness because he is light. Both light and darkness are the same to him. And both of them are working together for his good. Romans 8:28. We know it well, right? Do we know 8:29 as well? The purpose, the plan for good of his purpose is to conform you into the image of his son. This is the plan. This is the plan for good that God has for each and every one of us. Don't leave that part of that verse out when you share that verse. People can misinterpret that. God has a plan for good so you get a better job. God has a plan for good. He'll take care of that bill. That is not the purpose. The purpose is to conform us into the image of Christ. So whether I make my bed in hell or I ascend to heaven, he is there. And that is the purpose for it. So we thank him in these things. To God, the darkness and light are the same because he defeated the darkness. He defeated Satan on that cross. God does not see the darkness because he is light. And just as it is in the physical world, so it is with God. Darkness cannot overcome light, and light always overcomes darkness. Imagine being in a dark cave and lighting a match. Pitch black, light a match, the darkness flees as fast as it can go. As fast as the light pushes it out, it goes. And since darkness is the absence of light, once light is produced, darkness can't exist there no longer. And Jesus is the light of this dark world, and his spirit, his light, dwells in each and every one of us who are believers. He is still able to see light in us, even in the midst of our depravity, because it is his light in us. He doesn't see our darkness as darkness. He sees it as opportunity. He cannot, because we are saved and we have been made perfect in Christ through the one-time sacrifice of Jesus. Made perfect forever, Hebrews tells us. There is no darkness left in us. Having our inheritance in the light. John 9:5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And Christ is in us to be that light. And here's a warning. Remember that match in the cave? Beware of making your own light, in your own zeal for God, in your own self-righteousness. Not according to his knowledge. Romans 10:2-4. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And what is this knowledge that they lack? I hope we don't. I hope we are talking about them tonight. This knowledge that the only the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will shall see the kingdom of heaven. Not yours. Not mine. Only his. Only his righteousness accounted to us through grace. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The thing about that match is it's going to burn, and it's going to go away, and then the darkness is going to come back. That's self-righteousness. It will soon burn out, and darkness will soon fall upon them and us once again, if that's the light we're using. Have you ever lit your own match and thought it was the Lord, and then that same darkness came back and overtook you? That's the warning. And here it's really spelled out in Isaiah very clearly. Oh, I need the finger. Okay. Isaiah 50:10-11. Who among you fears the Lord? Who among this room fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who fire a candle. Look, all you who light your own match. Who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. God says, this you shall receive from my hand. And it looks good. It feels right. And if you don't study the word and you are not a student of the word, I don't know how you would ever know the difference. For having your own zeal for God, because God's name's on it. He's pleased with me. Look what I'm doing for him. I don't know, without studying the word personally on your own, how you would know the difference. He said, this you shall have from my hand, those who kindle their own fire, who make their sparks around them, light it all up in that dark cave. You shall lie down in torment. This is where self-righteousness gets us. Torment. So you have been called to the watch, Gregorio, and hope only in the word of our Lord. Have you accepted this call? Are you a student of the word of God? Have you accepted this call, this watch, this night watch, to be alert, to not be sleeping spiritually, no folding of the hands? That we are the lights in this night watch in this fallen world. Have you put a basket over yourself? Because you don't spend that time with the Lord privately in the word. If you accepted this call, and I hope on some level we all have, let's turn to Ezekiel 33:1-11. Again, see the warning. Okay. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. Who have you made the watchman of your life? Who are your teachers? Because as we're going to read here, it's very, very important who you sit under and who you listen to. Who have you made your watchman? These are the teachers that God has sent for you to listen to and learn from. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take his warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. Who? The one that did not heed the trumpet, did not heed the warning. His blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. So if you warn them with the word, warn yourself with the word. If you watch and receive instruction, if you look intently and you are alert in the word of God, and when the word of God has given you instruction, when Jesus has called upon you to warn them, then that blood, that life will not be on your hands. You warn them. Goes on, but he who takes warning will save his life. So you warned them and they listened. Amen. Brethren, if any one of you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. James 5, 19 and 20. By warning, you're saving yourself. Here's one of the multitude of sins you're saving. Because if you know to do right and you don't do it, that's a sin. If you are called as a watchman to warn, judgment is coming, and you do not do that, that is a sin. And we're going to see the severity of it here. 1 Timothy 4:15 and 16, it says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And I will say this proudly in the Lord. My evidence is evident to all. From 4 years ago when this man started reading the word of God to today, it is evident in the people in my life. How about you? Is it the same as it was 10 years ago? Is it the same as it was 15 years ago? I hope 5 years from now I'll say the same thing. What the Lord has done through his word in my life, that it will be evident to all that this Greg is not the same Greg 5 years from now. Because he continues to grow in the knowledge of his Lord and Savior. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And we continue. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. This is serious stuff. Woe to us that do not hear a trumpet sound from the watchman in our life. Woe to us that do not speak the word when we see the sword coming in people's lives. Even speak it to yourself. Judgment is coming into our own, into others' lives. And that blood, that life will be on our hands. And the more I see in the word, the more I understand judgment is coming in this life and, in more importantly, the next, the one that matters for all of us, whether judgment in Christ where there is no condemnation or judgment at the white throne judgment where unbelievers will be judged according to their works. They need to know this. They need to know that. Because I know if I was judged according to my works, it's not going to be good for me. God is a just judge, and he must judge everyone. A just judge doesn't let people get by the judgment. And luckily, we have the one that took the judgment for us at the cross. But some don't. And yet, when this warning comes, we want to have pity on the flesh of our friends. Not wanting to offend them, maybe lose a friend, because they're not going to like what you have to say. If God has placed you as a watchman, woe to you if you do not speak up. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. One thing you're not doing when you're kissing is warning. That's for sure. So you, son of man, you, person at Grace and Truth Church, you have been made a watchman for the house of Israel. You have been made a watchman for the body of Christ, a doorkeeper. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. And how do we hear from the Lord now? Through his word. So if you're not getting the word, you're not going to be one warning anybody. You're going to be one reliant on the warning of somebody possibly blowing or not blowing that trumpet. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, in his sin. But his blood I will require at your hand. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. James 4:17. You know, giving money, helping an old lady cross the street, doing that good thing for that person that needs it. How about knowing to correct someone that's living not according to the word of God, that's claiming they are? I understand that some people don't know the word of God. It's the ones that are claiming that this is okay. God loves me just the way I am. They need corrected. Therefore, you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, Thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us and we rot away in them, how can we then live? If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Here's the good news. While we were dead in our trespasses, God said he takes no pleasure in our death. So he sent the innocent Jesus, the Lamb of God, to die in our place. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but for the joy that was set before him, the innocent died and endured that cross. The righteous one for the wicked, you and me. Turn from your evil ways. Why should you die? Repent. Change your thinking. We do not ever tell anybody they need to stop sinning. Stop doing that. That is not repentance. Repentance is a change of your thinking. And like the thief on the cross who repented and believed, he confessed he was a sinner, deserving of death, deserving of his punishment, and he saw Jesus as the innocent sacrifice and simply requested, when you enter into your kingdom, remember me. He confessed him as Lord. This is repentance. Remember me when you enter into your kingdom. The purest, simplest picture of salvation and its requirements lay in this account in Luke 23. So you watchmen and watchwomen, are you watching for your life and those who God has placed in it, who may be possibly asleep? The sword is coming, judgment is coming. I think of Elijah and Elisha and these watchmen, those who hear the Lord and obey him and do what he says. And these outcomes of our obedience to the Lord are his alone. He says, some might not turn. They'll be taken away in their iniquity, but you're good because you warned them. And that's what I needed you to do. And this is not a burdensome task as we think. We need to be convincers of the word of God, just presenters. Ty tells me this. Just present the word. Present the word. This is our job. Present the evidence. Present the warning. The word does the work. If you see the sword, if you see judgment coming, then warn them. That's it. Thus saith the Lord. Thus the Lord, the word of God says. Not speaking for the Lord like some attempt to do today. Don't do that. But merely speaking his written word. Out of the mouth comes the abundance of the heart. So get the word so you can warn them and warn yourself. Galatians 6, 1 and 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Bear another one's burdens. Give the warning, but the load is theirs. Obey God, and the outcomes are his. 1 Kings 19 and 16. God told Elijah to anoint Elisha in his place. Verses 19 and 21. So Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen. Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elijah turned back from him, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then they arose and followed Elijah. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Every time I read this, I was real impressed with Elisha. I mean, he burned his livelihood. Okay, I'll give it all. But Elijah is what impressed me this time. He said, what is it to me to you? I did what the Lord commanded to me. I threw my mantle on you. The rest is on you. It makes no difference if you go back to your mom and dad's. Go back there. Not that he doesn't care. It does not affect him. I did what the Lord told me to do. And the outcomes are his. If you come, great. If you don't, great, because I'm going to continue to do what the Lord says. This simple obedience to the Lord. And when we are obedient to the Lord, we can hear the Lord tell us like he told Habakkuk. And I love this. Through our obedience, that's it. Obey the word. Get the word, obey the word. And through our obedience, he will say, look among the nations and watch. Look among the people in your life and watch. Be utterly astounded. Be this excited just from what I'm about to tell you. For I will do a work in the people in your life's life that even if I told you what y'all would do, you wouldn't even believe me. This is the promise. Obey God, and I will do this amazing work. Be utterly astonished from what I'm going to do. And I'm not even going to tell you, because if I told you, your unbelief would ruin it. Do you have this kind of faith for the people in your life? The people lost, the people asleep. And then Habakkuk says in chapter 2, okay, that's it. Well, then I'm going to stand my watch. I'm going to stand in that watchtower on my rampart and watch and see what the Lord will say to me next and what I will answer when I am corrected. So often, every time I talk to the Lord, I'm corrected more often than not. But be utterly astounded through your obedience, through your simple obedience, with no expectations of outcomes, just like Elijah did. So what's it to me? I told you what the Lord told me to tell you. It's like the watchman. Blow the trumpet when he tells you to blow the trumpet. You can't sleep and watch at the same time. It's one or the other. And the Lord warns the church in Sardis, be watchful. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. There is only one perfect work, and that is the work of Christ. Your best efforts are not commendable before God. Well, you tried really good, hard. It's filthy rags. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Repent from your self-righteousness. Your works aren't perfect. Only perfect works are acceptable before the Father. Only the works of his Son. In his life, in his ministry, and on the death of that cross. The only thing acceptable. Therefore, if you will not, Gregorio, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Here's the warning. He's coming soon. Very soon. And if you're waiting till tomorrow to start that spiritual life, to say, tomorrow I'm really going to get it. Go home tonight so you actually do it tomorrow. Because the problem with tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow becomes today. The same day you didn't do it. What's it? Mark 14, 33 and 38. Jesus, when he took him to the garden, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Be alert. Be mindful of things. Consider things well. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the attention on this Tuesday night. Five words, Lord. Five words of our own understanding that can change our lives from this point forward on. Lord, thank you for the fellowship. Protect us as we get home and bless the offering. In Jesus we pray, amen.